Thank you so much. Well, good morning, good morning. I'm so excited to be with you today. First of all, okay, you guys, I've spoken like all across the country to all kinds of groups. I have never seen raffle prizes like what you guys just gave away. I'm sorry, but like, how do you get to be part of this group? I feel like I should have another baby just to be part of your group. Those were like insane, insane raffle prizes. So I did want to tell you just a couple quick things before we get started. You were talking about fun Christmas things to do. Well, our church does a super fun free Christmas thing that you should know about. It's called Journey to Bethlehem. My church is Crossline Church in Laguna Hills, where my husband's the pastor. And like 10,000 people go through this thing. And we have a soccer field on our campus. So we take the huge soccer field and we transform it so it looks like the old city of Bethlehem in the day of Jesus. So there's like a living nativity, there's camel rides, there's a petting zoo, there's, snacks, there's all kinds. There's like a marketplace. It's just really cool. So totally free. And I think it's this coming weekend. It's called Journey to Bethlehem Crossline Church. I'm sorry. You can make reservations just so they kind of know how many thousands of people are coming through each night, but you don't have to. So and you just kind of walk through it at your leisure, and you'll love it. I promise you, you'll love it, and we do it for the community. So it's for you, for free. So there you go. Also, I have, sometimes when I speak, people are like, how can we stay connected? So I do, twice a month, maybe, like a newsletter, a blog, that's really just a dose of spiritual encouragement. So if about every 2 weeks you're like, dang, girl, I could use a little dose of spiritual encouragement, then I'm going to pass this around, and you can just give me your email, and then I'd love to connect with you on Instagram at Donna A. Jones or on my podcast, which is That's Just What I Needed. So let's dive in. So today we're talking about friendship. I know your theme is let's go together, right? And I'm really passionate about this whole idea of friendship and community because that's how we become better versions of ourselves. I have three kids, and my youngest daughter, her name is Ashton, and several years ago, we were on this family walk, and my husband and Ashton were kind of trailing behind, and Ashton was telling JP, my husband, just some friendship issues that she was having, and my husband said to her, you know, Ashton, there's three kinds of people in this world. There are people who bring you up, there are people who bring you down, and there are people who keep you the same. And if you want your life to be elevated, then you surround yourself with people who bring you up. If you want your life to go down, you surround yourself with people who bring you down. And if you want your life just to plateau, you surround yourself with people who are going to keep you the same. So I could kind of overhear this a little bit in the background. Then a few weeks later, Ashton's best friend Carly was over at our house. And I was in the kitchen, they were in the family room, and I could overhear them talking about friendship. And I hear Ashton say to Carly, you know, Carly, there are three kinds of people in this world. And I thought, wow, okay, that was really impactful. And because I had heard it twice, I started thinking about it. And I started resonating with it, and I started just kind of thinking, you know, that's really true. There really are three kinds of people in this world. People bring you up, people bring you down, and people who will keep you the same. And doesn't it make sense to make sure that the people in your closest inner circle are people who are bringing you up? Not people who are bringing you down, for sure. And of course, there's going to be people who keep you the same, but we all need those people who will elevate us. And that's part of the reason that you're here at MOPS, is because you want to connect with people, you want to make friends, but you don't want to just make any kind of friend. You want to make a friend who's going to make you the better version of you. And in fact, several years ago, I wrote a Bible study on friendship. And my definition of friendship is this, and I'm going to say it a couple times because it to be really in your brain. A good friend is someone who propels you to be the best version of you, the one God had in mind when he created you. That's who a good friend is. A good friend is someone who propels you to be the best version of you, the one God had in mind when he created you. And if you want to be a good friend to someone else, then you will be the kind of friend who will propel other women to be the best version of themselves. Now, it's interesting because most of us, when we think about friendship, we don't really think about the purpose of friendship. We just kind of make friends. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's incomplete. It's not bad, it's just incomplete. You know, we make friendships based on our geographical location. Okay, she's my neighbor, so she's my friend. Or we make friendships based on our life stage situation. Okay, her kids are the same age as my kids, so we're friends. Or we work together, so we're friends. And all of that is great. That's great, and that's how we make friends. But our good friends, remember, there's three kinds of people. Those who bring us up, those who keep us the same, those who bring us down. Our good friends, we need to be intentional about choosing those friends who are going to be people who propel us to be the best version of us, the one God had in mind when he created us. Because when God created you, he had a version of you that he intended. When God created your children, he has a picture. He has an end game. He has a version of them that's the best version of them, right? And we as moms, what we want to do with our children is we want to help them, guide them, direct them so that they become the best versions of them, the one God had in mind when he created them. But in order for us to do that, we have to surround ourselves with people who are helping us be the best versions of us. The best versions of us as a mom, the best versions of us as a wife if we're married, the best versions of us professionally and personally and spiritually and emotionally and relationally. That's what a good friend does. I like to say that a good friend is not a competitor. A good friend is a cheerleader. So if you're surrounding yourself with people who are competitors, note to self, that's not a good friend. If you find yourself as a competitor with other women, check yourself, because you're not being a good friend. Because a good friend is not a competitor. She's a cheerleader, which means everything about you, she's going to be like, go you. Be the best mom you can be the best wife you can be the best person you can be the best Christian you can be, right? That's what a good friend does. So there's a passage of scripture, it's found in Proverbs, and it says, it's kind of like this little definition, one-liner definition of a friend, and it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the whole idea is that there's a sharpening that happens when people come together. And it's like we elevate each other. Sometimes that's by just encouraging each other. Sometimes that's by rubbing against each other and kind of having to work through different things. And so, you know, we sharpen each other by working through things. Sometimes it's our gifts are complementing each other. But it's really interesting that in the Hebrew, that word, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's literally as iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens another man's countenance. And the idea is that sometimes you're with people and it's like just being with them, it elevates your countenance, right? And so I was studying this and I was driving and I came up to a red light. And it was one of those red lights where there's two lanes. And I looked over and there was my friend, Kim Conrad, sitting right next to me in the car. So I honk my horn, and Kim looks over, and I went, and my husband's like, what? And I rolled down my window, and my husband was in the passenger seat. He goes, what are you doing? You can't have a conversation here. I'm like, oh, clearly you underestimate the power of a woman. I can have a conversation in like 3 nanoseconds. So, you know, Kim and I are like, hey, you know, how you doing? Good. And we had this super brief conversation. But I noticed that as I drove off, when the light turned green, I was smiling, right? And you have friends like that too. You randomly see them, and as one person sharpens another, they sharpen your countenance. It's like you see them, you're like, hey, I'm super glad to see you. Or every time you're with them, you just feel better afterwards, right? Then you also have those friends that when you're running errands in Target, you see her and you're like, oh, I'm not going down that aisle. I don't have time for her drama right now. I don't want to hear her, you know, all she does is criticize. All she does is she's so negative. All she does is you fill in the blank. And they don't sharpen your countenance. And in fact, you want to avoid them. Now, why do I bring this up? Because it's obvious, right, that there's two kinds of people in the world. The reason I bring this up is because there are two kinds of people in the world. And we have to assess two things. Number one, which kind of person am I? And we gotta be brutally honest with that. Am I the kind of person that when people run into me at Target or wherever, or I'm sitting around their table, that when they see me in the morning, when they sit down, I'm like, oh, she's here, yay. Because she's gonna encourage me. She's gonna sharpen me. She's gonna elevate me. She's gonna comfort me. She's gonna speak wisdom into me. Or, being brutally honest, are you the other kind? The kind that like just sucks the life out of people. The kind of person that just is always talking and never listening. The kind of person that is just always being critical. I mean, we just have to be honest, because there are two kinds of people in the world. And that means half people are one. We got to make sure we're not those people, that we're the other people. Because remember, there's three kinds of friends. Those who bring you up, those who keep you sane, those who bring you down. So as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. One of the things I was praying several years ago, just repeatedly, I don't even know why I started praying this, but I had this little prayer that I just would say to the Lord. It was like, Lord, make me better than I am. Just make me better than I am. Make me a better wife than I am. Make me a better friend than I am. Make me a better mom than I am. Make me a better, you know, Bible study teacher than I am. Make me a better writer than, make me, like whatever things were in my life, I just started praying, God, make me better than I am. Because I never want to get to the point in my life where I just am and I'm not growing. Because we can always be better than we are, right? And then I opened the Bible and I found this passage of scripture, and it's just a simple little, short little passage of scripture, and I realized God has actually provided a way that we can be better than we are. And the passage of scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 10, and it says these words. I have no idea where this, but I think I know. Oh, well, here it is. I was going to say, I think I know it by heart. It says, I think it's going to be up on the screen. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In this short passage of scripture, the words let us are there four times. Let us, let us, let us, let us. That tells me something. That community is really important. The way we become better versions of ourselves is not in isolation. It's in community. So what do we learn about how this happens? Well, first of all, healthy friendship, healthy community, it's purposeful. So it says up there, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Okay, so when Ashton, our youngest, when she was little, she was like 6 years old, she went to this birthday party. I think it was up at, it used to be called Boomers. Now it's up in Irvine. What's it called now? Is still Boomers? Okay. So they have these little race cars for the little ones. And, you know, it's not like a race car that's on a track, like at Disneyland. It's the little race cars where they just actually drive. And so they may have redone it since she was six. But at the time, several cars could fit in the same lane. So Ashton's in there, and it, you know, she's 6 years old, and all these little six-year-old girls, and the flag goes down, and she starts driving, and Ashton floors the thing. She has one hand over the back, literally one hand over the back of the seat, one hand on the wheel, and she, and I'm like, who are you? And I mean, she's six, like, hey. And she floors it, and she starts racing around this track, and she's insane. I mean, she's flying, and she's hitting everything. She's, like, hitting the guardrail on the right, hitting the guardrail on the left, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, she's going to be 30 by the time she gets her driver's license. I don't even know. This is ridiculous. Then I noticed that if somebody came up on her right, another little girl, and somebody was on her left, then she could drive straight. But if either of those cars were missing, she was swerving to her right, she was swerving to her left, like she was swerving all over the place. Did you notice that it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess? See, we're just like Ashton. We have all these great intentions. Okay, I'm gonna be the best mom ever. I'm gonna be the best wife ever. I'm gonna be the best daughter-in-law ever. And then something happens, our child has a meltdown, our husband doesn't meet our expectations, our in-laws put $5 in our stocking. Which, by the way, where was that gal? Okay. No, seriously. That is, I'm sorry. I just want to say I'm sorry. I feel your pain. Oh, in recent years, she's gotten the same amount. Okay. They upped their game. Okay, good, good. Okay, that's good. See, you know what? They got they became better versions of themselves. See, we're always growing. So there you go. So the point is that we can have these great intentions, but it doesn't take much to make a swerve, does it? I mean, our kids having a meltdown and we're like swerving all over our good intentions of being this great mom. The point is, we have to have people on our right and people on our left bumping us back into place so that we can hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Because it's really easy to swerve. So we have to be purposeful in our friendship. That means that we reach out to each other. I wrote this Bible study on friendship, and as I was doing the research, I came across this quote, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so good. Because when it comes to being purposeful in friendship, there really are two kinds of people. There are people who are initiators, and there are people who are responders. Now, how many of you feel like you're an initiator? Like, you're always the one that reaches out. You're the people gatherer. Okay, how many of you would think I'm kind of the responder? Okay, so it's sort of 50. And then the rest of you, do you not have friends? No, I'm teasing. Okay, so I came upon this quote and I thought this was so amazing. Oh, so many friendships never get off the ground due to the fear in us that whispers, I invited her last time. The ball's in her court now. So not true. We all have strengths to give to our friendships, and initiation and planning are just that, a strength that we all have in varying degrees. And this, the writer of this quote says this, I never think, oh, I had them over last time, it's their turn. I think, oh, I want to see them again. Let me email them to see if they can come over. And they reciprocate in friendship in plenty of other ways. Mutuality is important, but mutuality is not 50-50 in each task, but whether we are both contributing to the friendship overall. I thought that was profound, because when it comes to being purposeful in friendship, sometimes we can fall into the trap if we are the initiators and we feel like we're always the one reaching out to then stop being the initiators. But I'm reminded that if we are the initiators, it's because that's how God wired us and created us. So don't stop that, even if your other friends are not initiating 50-50 with you. As long as the other person is giving to the friendship in some sort of mutual way, that when you are together, it's mutually benefiting, then that's all that matters. You don't have to be the same, I invited her, she needs to invite me. Just let that go. Let that go. That gets so many friendships just sideways. The point is that we're purposeful in our initiation and our responding of each other. And it sometimes it's just helpful in human relationships to just talk about things. And just if you're the person who's the responder, sometimes it's helpful to tell the initiator, you know what, I just want you to know you're always the one texting me. I love it. Keep doing it. I'm not a very good initiator, but I love it when you reach out to me. And that sort of just frees everybody up to kind of know where you stand. So first of all, relationships are purposeful because they're intentional and we need them. And then the passage goes on and it talks about how let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. They're not just intentional, they're purposeful. Like there's a purpose. We're to encourage one another toward love and good deeds. I mentioned it before, women friendships, it's not a competition. It's a cheerleading. And so we're to encourage each other. One of the things that I find with women is that it's really easy to be competitors, right? And compare yourselves. And, you know, it's really easy before you have kids. Okay, you know, what's my marital status? I'm single, my friends are getting married. Or, you know, then maybe you get married. Okay, now I don't have kids, my friends are having kids. Or maybe I'm the only one that kids and everybody, you know, you sort of like, okay, what's my professional life like? And, you know, what does my house look like or my apartment look like? And what kind of furniture do I have? And what kind of furniture does she have? And, like, how are her kids doing? And how old was her child when he was walking? And, oh, my child's not walking. And, you know, then we start, like, preschool. And, oh, my gosh, that 4-year-old's reading. Oh, my gosh, I, like, let my kids watch too much TV. What am I doing? You know, I mean, we just compare ourselves to everything, right, and everyone. And we have to be really careful about that because that can bleed over into our friendships. And then instead of encouraging each other, then we're comparing ourselves with each other. And that's when little competitions get in between women and little sarcastic digs and little gossip sessions and little comments like, did you hear that so-and-so, gosh, they're moving and they got this great new house. Yeah, well, I wonder, like, how much debt they're in, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to always, like, give this little dig, because you can't let somebody be better than you for 5 seconds, right? I mean, we live this stuff. This is how people relate in an unhealthy way. And the reason they do it is because it's coming from this place of insecurity instead of a place of security. And we're not really thinking, wait a minute, time out. Friendship, good friends, propel each other to be the best versions of them, the one God had in mind when he created them. So my job as a friend is to propel my friends to be the best versions of them. And if I'm wise, I will choose friends in my inner circle that do that for me. And the women who don't, they don't get to be in my inner circle. Period. Now, I have to interact with those women, but they're not my friends. Because my friends are on Team Donna. Period. But they're on Team Donna because they know that I'm the kind of woman who's going to be on their team too. It has to be mutual. It can't just be me looking for women to encourage me and not then being also willing to encourage other women. It has to be both ways. So the reason I'm bringing up, I keep bringing up like the purpose of friendship is because when we're thinking about who's in that inner circle, if we will just be a little bit more intentional about that, it will save us 90% of friendship drama. It will. And so when you come across a woman who is discouraging or critical or controlling, you'll be able to say, note to self, I got to interact with her, but she doesn't have to be like my best friend. I get to choose that. And I get to choose that based on wisdom, knowing that as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And I'm only going to have my good friends be those people that elevate me. Is this making sense? So, okay, so the scripture. So we're going to be purposeful and intentional. And then, and we're going to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And then all the more as you see the day, not giving up meeting together, all the more as you see the day approaching. So we're going to continue this. We're going to live in community and not isolate in community. And I find that one of the reasons that people isolate is hurt. There's two things. Well, there's several things, but there's busyness and then there's hurt. And busyness is just, you know, life gets crazy. The kids are sick, so I can't make the MOPS group week after week after week, or I can't make church, or, you know, I'm trying to juggle life as a mom and maybe a job, and, you know, life just gets busy and it's hard to connect. But I want to encourage you to stay connected as much as you can, because you need it. You need it. The other thing is hurt. And what ends up happening is when women try to lean in and they try to develop friendships and then they get hurt, they will lean out. For good reason, because who wants to be hurt, right? But what I want to say is that a couple things about this. Number one, that we're all human beings, and human beings aren't perfect. And so from time to time, we're going to offend each other, or we're going to be offended, or we're going to be the one that offends. So how do you know if a person is still a safe person to be in friendship with if she hurts you? Well, the best thing, there's two things, and I want you to mark these down. Number one, always assume the best until you know the worst. I'm going to say this again because it's that important. Always assume the best until you know for sure the worst. Because I find that women get their feelings hurt or they get offended, and then we create this whole narrative. We create this story in our head. Well, why did she say that? I think she said that because da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, maybe she said that because I did this. I don't know. Did I do that? I don't think I did that. Maybe I did. You know, and we have this whole self-talk in our head. And so we start assuming the worst about that person when we don't even really have all the facts about the situation. For instance, maybe we're at Target and we kind of see somebody far away, and then, you know, we see her wheel down another aisle and we're like, oh, see, she's trying to avoid me. Well, maybe she just didn't see you. Or we text a friend and she doesn't text us right back. Oh, yep, she's ghosting me. Well, maybe she got busy and just forgot. I mean, like, we create these stories in our heads sometimes that we assume the worst instead of assuming the best. So assume the best until you know the worst. And the reason I say that is because that's how you would want somebody to respond to you. Because we've all done it. We've all gotten those texts, and we meant to text that person right back, and then something happened, we got distracted, and we didn't. Has anybody ever done that? Yes, we've all done that, right? And we don't want, did we have bad intentions? Did you have bad intentions when you did that? Yes or no? No, you didn't, did you? It was an honest mistake. So you wouldn't want someone to assume the worst of you. So why would you do that to somebody else? So just assume the best until you know for sure the worst. That's number one. That will save you so much heartache and drama. And number two, realize who those people are, though, that are still safe to be in relationship with if they do hurt you. Because a person who hurts you, who's safe, will never intend to hurt you. And when they find out that something hurt you, a comment that they said, an action that they did, there will be genuine remorse. There won't be pride. There won't be blame. There won't be excuses. The response will be, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That was the last thing I meant. That's how they'll respond. There'll be genuine remorse. The reason is she won't mean to hurt you. It will be, there's two kinds of hurt. There's intentional hurt and there's unintentional hurt. And when a person finds out they hurt you, they'll be genuinely sorry. And by the same token, if you find out that you've hurt another person, if you're a safe friend, your response will be, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It won't be like, well, I just did that because, well, you know how it is. Or like, well, you always, well, at least it's not as bad as blah, 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 blah. There won't be any excuses. There won't be any blame. There'll be ownership and genuine remorse. Okay, number three about being hurt. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got came from my dad. Now, right now, my dad, for the last 2 weeks, it's been hard. We had a little family get together right before Thanksgiving. It was just this spur of the moment little get together. We were gonna watch a football game. My husband and I were gonna go over to my parents' house. They live in Laguna Niguel. And my daughter Ashton still lives at home with us. And she was like, hey, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I think I'll go over and watch the game with you guys. And I was like, that sounds great. You haven't seen Grammy and Granddaddy in a long time. So then she texted a couple of her cousins, and it was like, come over. And then my sister and my brother-in-law came over, and we all went over and we watched this football game at my mom and dad's, and it was super fun. And just this family gathering. Well, at the end of the evening, my daughter Ashton was like, gosh, my throat's starting to hurt. And the next day she came down with this horrible flu. The one that's like, you know, like she didn't get out of bed for 5 days. And the whole time I'm like, oh, Grammy and Granddaddy don't get this. Well, my dad got it. And then he ended up in the hospital. And so I've been like, oh, that's where I'll be right after this. So, I mean, it's been long. It's been long. But the sweet thing is that as I've just been with my dad, and I, because we're just, you know, all kind of there, just taking turns, sort of being with him, I've been able to tell him just a few things that he taught me as a child. And just two nights ago, I was there. I was the last person there before he went to sleep. And I was holding his hand, and, you know, I was kind of just kissing his little forehead. And I told him, the way we were holding hands. And I said, Dad, when I was a little girl, I have this memory. And we were standing in church, and you were holding my hand, and we were singing a song. And I remember you were singing like so loud. My dad has a terrible voice, but he was singing so loud and just with such joy. And I remember looking up at him and going, oh, that's what it means to worship God. And I said, Dad, you were the one that taught me to love Jesus. And then I thought back to a piece of advice he gave me when I was in high school. And he said, Donna, you will get hurt in this world. He said, sweetheart, people will hurt you. And he said, honey, I might even hurt you. I will never mean to, but I might hurt you. And he said, but I want you to always remember, God will never hurt you. Now, it might feel sometimes like God hurts our feelings, but God is the safe one. God is our refuge. And I want to just tell you that I have thought of that over the years so many times. Because you'll get hurt. Your husband will hurt you. Your friends will hurt you. Fellow Christians might hurt you. Now, a lot of them won't even mean to. But God will never hurt you. God is your safe refuge. And so, as we're seeking to become better versions of ourselves, the people that God had in mind when he created us, it's always in relationship with community. We go there together. We don't go there in isolation. And we do that when we're intentional and we're purposeful and we encourage one another. Remember, the definition of a good friend is the person who propels you to be the best version of you, the one God had in mind when he created you. And the definition of you being a good friend is you being the kind of woman that propels other women to be the best version of them, the one God had in mind when he created them. Let me pray. Lord, you're so intentional and you're so helpful and you're so practical. And God, we learn these life lessons in community through wise people who speak into our lives. God, I pray for these women that this community right here at PCC Church, MOPS, that these women would be safe women who keep in mind the definition of a good friend. And they propel each other to be the best versions of themselves so that their children would end up being the best versions of themselves and the generations will be blessed because of the women in this room. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.